We are going to get started. Wanda, hi. So we are, all right, this starting the December Arts Commission meeting at about 5:07 p.m. And I guess it's up to you, Chair, Vice Chair, Chair-elect Conklin, for the consent agenda.
All right. We have two absences, Liesl Sankyle and Michelle Douglas for today. And did you have an
add? I did, yeah. I have an addition. We wanted to add to today's agenda that we have an action item, which is the 2018 Portable Works Acquisition Recommendations. So we're going to add that under number four, action items.
Okay.
Or I'd like to, anyway.
So could I get a motion to accept the consent agenda with the additional 2018
Portable Works acquisition?
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
One second.
And seconded. Any, or all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Ah, thanks. Okay.
All right, the ayes
have it. And I meant to recognize this meeting is being held on Indigenous land, which is the traditional homelands of the Puyallup people. First, I wanted to say I think you know that we've got a few changes coming up starting at our next meeting. I have the nameplates, so I'm going to have to read who the new commissioners are going to be. But Sarah Woodson is coming up. James Stowe, Anna Holcomb, and I don't know those three people, but I do know Heidi Fernandez-Yamazares, which is the longest name I've ever seen on one of these before. They were able to fit even longer than Lynn's. I know at least Heidi fairly well. She is a colleague of mine currently with the Arts Commission, and she's thrilled to be joining you guys.
I can tell you a little bit about the other folks.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they'll introduce themselves as well. So we're very grateful to have Heidi, who will come with public art experience, which will be a big loss with Michael's leaving. So provide some consistency with that, at least. Anna Holcomb works at KBTC. So it'll be interesting to have someone who has a connection with that media area. And she had, if I recall right, some interest and background in arts and healthcare and things like that. Hopefully I'm not wrong.
I think art therapy, I think she's a media master.
Yeah, I remember something like that because I was like, oh, there's a lot of interest in that, and it's not something that we've delved into much. James Stowe is a local illustrator and part of the Claw group with R. Anderson and them, and makes his living as an artist, which is really interesting to the EDC committee. And as does Sarah Woodson. She's a potter, ceramic artist, and so she lives in the east side, or the sector 4, which is over by Lincoln District. So we'll look forward to welcoming them at the January meeting. If any of them are at the party or the thing, we'll talk to them then. Done.
Great. And that also means that three of us are going to be leaving. The fourth, I think you know, is Tracy Kelly's position, which has been vacant for a while. But Hallie, you're on the phone, I think, yes? Hi, Hallie's going to be leaving us, as is Scott, and as am I, and we are going to miss you guys.
Okay, then I'm leaving too.
But we've got some new blood coming in.
And pretty certificates.
Yeah,
Oh, and pretty certificates. Thank you. It is pretty, Hallie, I think. Let's see.
We have it saved.
I'll be the judge of this. Are you coming? Are you on your way? Oh, beautiful. Are you caught in football traffic?
I am, but I'll be there in maybe
10 minutes. Oh, good. Okay. So you were.
Well, wait a second.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you to you all, because the contributions you all have made have been tremendous. I hope that you found some reward in your participation, because I think each and every one of you have really brought your great minds and voice to bear that have really helped to influence how what decisions have been made and really bring good perspective. Scott, I've always appreciated the things you've been able to bring up are particularly around the theater community, but also your role as a you fill so many roles that you bring a lot of perspective, but being able to talk to us about what it really feels like to be running an organization in this town of your size. Mm-hmm. And I really, really appreciate that perspective that you've brought, and please continue to share that voice with us. Know that we need to hear it, even though you're not on this commission. And, you know, so please invite that. And Hallie, your ability and the enthusiasm as the one of the most amazing arts promoters out there is really a good model, and being able to help us know how to spread the word. And, you know, I invite you as well to share with us whatever you can as you're out there and seeing if we're doing things that are helpful, or if you're like, how come I never saw this anywhere? You guys need to do that more, and hopefully just continue to be as enthusiastic and participatory as you are in the art world, please. And also, well, wait a second. You guys are living outside of the city limits now, right? So forget it. No, just kidding. The greater to come. See how good you are? That's good. So thank you for contributing to the Arts Commission. And, you know, we've experienced a lot of important life changes with you, with the birth of your child and all that stuff, too. So it's been really wonderful getting to spend that time with you. And Michael, 8 years plus, something, a million? 11?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I've been, you know, I appreciate you very much, and your uncanny ability to be just so diplomatic and kind and thoughtful in the way that you even have had to deliver some very difficult news or judgments or things, and as things have gone along, is much appreciated and something that I admire and aspire to, though it will never happen. But it's good to have
It's
always good to have a model, and I'm grateful that we work in the same field and that you're my friend, so I don't see you, but and also, you know, I invite you to please participate. And we might be calling on you more than we did before, even to participate in things. And your leadership, particularly over these past couple of years as chair, has been really appreciated. You're just so stable and calm, and really, really bring a lot to bear in leading
this
group. So I want to thank you all very much. And I'd invite anybody else to say nice things, too, if you choose to.
We're not.
And if you don't, then, you know, then I'll hurt their feelings and I'll set up something.
Thank you.
I just have to say one thing. I remember when I first came back to the commission, and, you know, as new members, you're kind of awkward. You don't know people. I mean, I recognize a lot of names and faces, but you're not really quite there yet. And Mike, I'll never forget, we had something going on. It was at TAM. And I was kind of nervous, and I forgot this, and you know, I felt a little awkward. He was so kind and gracious. He came to me and he says, "Don't worry about it. I got it. It's okay. You know, I'll take care of it for you. Just enjoy yourself and relax." And I'll never forget that. That really made me feel welcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, I would love for Scott to say a few words too. I just want to say I'm going to miss all of you, right? And I'm certainly sorry to hear that Scott and Hallie are stepping off, because I do agree with Amy that they've really been huge contributors to this commission, and hope that they will lend their talents, as Amy said, to future meetings. And maybe we'll all be sitting next to Don in the audience. We'll do the wave.
Well, I have certainly enjoyed my time on the commission. Maybe someday I'll come back. Who knows? Definitely will come back for any committee-type things or what have you. But like other arts organizations, mine needs to grow right now. So that's what I need to focus on right now.
Sure. Yeah.
Pulled too many directions. But it's been good. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed all of you. Thank you so much.
I'm going to miss you, Scott. And Hallie.
Michael. Well, thanks, guys. I just would like to say that I always thought that I was pretty well plugged in, and I felt like I knew lots of cool art things that are happening around town. And what I've enjoyed so much about being a part of this commission is just learning about how much more there was than I ever knew or had any idea about in our city. So that's been really, really cool. It occurs to me that I am delinquent on sending Naomi an update on my mid-project check-in that I did with one of our CISD recipients the other week.
That's all right.
That was so cool, and I feel like I've been blown away just over and over again with just how many cool things there are happening in our city all the time. And I would just like to say that I delayed on updating my voter registration so I could vote on Tacoma Creek.
Good job.
Thanks
good
for
job.
Your service.
That's awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. We are going to move on to action items now. What do you want to do?
Last action items.
My last action items. I'm not going to cry. do you want to start with, what do you want to start with, Naomi? It's your
Let's do arts form. Projects.
All right.
We'll just go there. Why not? Okay, so, okay, on the screen in front of you and coming around to you are a list of recommendations for arts projects. So, overall, we had 36 applicants this year, the most we've ever had. And thanks to your direction last month, we had $100,000 to allocate to this funding program instead of the normal $50,000, which I know is, I'll let the panelists here in just a moment, but was very much appreciated. The panel review panel for arts projects consisted of Michael Kula, Paula Jacobson, Rosie Ayala, and then Abigail Vizcarra-Perez, who works with Metro Parks, Miguel Guillen, who is with ArtsWA and manages their grants to organizations, and I'm going to butcher the last name, but Danielle Nyoka Hunich, who works for the YMCA and is a musician as well. So we had a great panel. They met last Friday to review the applications and discuss and provide recommendations. So what you see before you is the list of what they're recommending, a total of $100,000. They are recommending to fund 32 of the 36 applicants. Quite a few of them are at the full amount that was requested by the organization, which we've never really been able to do, and that's a very
fantastic.
Nice feeling. And then there were others that they still wanted to fund, but how they ranked, it was at a different, lesser level than what was requested. So maybe I'll open it up. Rosie, you're on the phone. Michael's here. Paula's here. So if you want to chime in and say anything about any of the applicants, the process, the whatever it was, feel free to do so.
Sure. this was great because it was the second time that I had done it. So not only did I feel like I had a good idea of actually what to do, but I got to compare it to last year. Yeah, I have to say that the applicants overall were really great. The review was vibrant and measured, and I thought that we had good results. And I want to second what you all were saying about thankfulness of having the additional funds.
Yeah.
When several of us left, we all said, oh my gosh, like if we had only half this much to divvy up, it would have been next to impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we funded somewhere around as many fully funded ones as we funded in total last time.
Maybe even more. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It was a lot.
So really, like, if you look at ones that were not given full funding, I mean, those would have been probably ones that fell off any funding. So,
right.
I thought it was great.
I'm thrilled looking at this list. I mean, just really exciting that we were able to fund this many projects. I had a question, and this is the inevitable question, and you don't need to defend it one by one. I'm not going to ask you, but that there are four that were not. Was there something that sort of stood out about them that just felt like they didn't make the cut?
I I don't want to speak for everybody. I mean, I think statistically there was a break in the group score.
Just felt.
And they fell below a certain line. You know, I think that, again, the emphasis on equity was something that the group took into account, and that maybe on some of those that weren't funded was a concern. But really there were kind of three or four tiers where there were clear breaks between the scores and
those
were some.
Yeah, I agree. And there was one that was, I think, that was lacking some artistic merit as well. But I have to say it was my first panel that I've ever sat on.
Oh.
And so it was a super, super experience to take part in. And having Michael and Miguel on the panel, I think it was Rosie's, no, Rosie had been on it last year too, but it was my first time, and having their insights into a lot of these organizations and the process was just absolutely invaluable. And it was, I felt super honored to be a part of it. And to have that $50,000 was a godsend.
Yeah.
That $50,000 extra was a godsend. Thank you, Tacoma Creates.
Yeah. Exactly. And I was also happy to see that the Ocean Fest, which I think we didn't fund last year in large part because they were new and they didn't make a good case articulating what their need was and what the use was. And we hoped that it would that they were still going to be able to do it and that they would be able to demonstrate that they could pull it off. And they did, and they've been rewarded for that. So.
Yeah, and they had two really strong artists, too, that are participating, I think, in this year's event.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an exciting event to watch.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I have a question. Can somebody tell me a little bit about this Tacoma Girls Rock? Is that new?
I was just going through and counting. There were 11 new applicants that were funding this year, which is crazy awesome.
That's good.
But they're relatively new. They're a pretty fledgling organization. I think they came to us last year under a different umbrella. I'm almost positive, and I can't totally confirm in my head, but we're not funded, and this year they came back again for funding, which is always good to see. And so they're a music education program for girls and women to try and diversify the field of music and bring up more women in that field.
So is it a teen group or is it
It's mainly, this one will be focused on teens.
Oh,
so
okay,
preteen,
good.
Teen
okay.
age
yeah.
Education.
And that was my second question. Do we have any youth groups in here? Youth group at all?
Yeah.
Teen poetry.
Teen poetry, I remember that one.
Tupac.
Yeah, Tupac.
Right, 253.
Children's Museum of Tacoma.
Ask people to speak up a little bit. Oh, hearing.
Okay. So the youth-centered programs that I know are Children's Museum of Tacoma. Let's see. There's ones that certainly that hit.
Latin Art Show and Youth Expressions Program.
Yep, that one. Tacoma Arts Live will be education-based, Tacoma City Ballet, Tacoma Girls Rock, Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center, Ted Brown Music Outreach, Right 253, and then a lot of the other ones still work with or will showcase youth and such, but those are ones that are specifically working with youth.
Okay, just curious.
Thank Can you hear Rosie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Question. So I see that Tacoma Arts Live, which was formerly Broadway Center, is that correct?
Yeah. Correct.
So they did not apply in the past because of their anchor funding, is that correct?
They've never received anchor funding because the city contracts with them.
Oh, right.
So they applied for the first time last year to Arts Projects funding and were funded last year for the same kind of program.
Gotcha.
So, we don't allow organizations that are anchor funds to apply for Arts Projects funding.
Right.
Avoid double dipping that way.
Right. Okay.
And there was a really cool organization
there
on this.
Is.
I thought it was Channel 253, We Are Tacoma.
Yeah.
Which is now it's going to broadcast podcasts, artist talks, and I thought that was really exciting to see.
That's great.
Some arts coverage in the South Sound Tacoma area.
Any other questions or thoughts about these recommendations?
Well, it certainly feels like we're getting into more communities, more neighborhoods in our community with this funding. That feels really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think every district is represented. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I guess we need a motion to approve these recommendations.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the arts funding, arts project funding for what year is it?
2019.
I second it. Second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. That passes.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, nice job, guys. That was a lot of work.
It's a lot of applications.
Yeah.
How long was it? All day? 2 days?
It was all day and like 10 minutes apiece because they were a lot to get through. So I had a very good panel. Appreciate you guys. I will be notifying those organizations this week. If you know any of them or, I mean, if they ask you questions about funding, please point them to me. I'm happy to share the notes from the panel, feedback and such. I don't want you trying to feel like you have to fumble your way through explaining funding decisions or feedback, especially if you weren't in the panel. So always, if you get questions, just point them to me, please, and I'll answer those for them. And I'll keep you in the loop. We'll do a press release announcing funding and that sort of stuff. So you'll see when that officially goes out to the public. So thank you.
Yep. I think we're up to poet laureate.
Poet laureate? Okay. So in your packet was the draft of the call to artists for the 2019 to 2021 Poet Laureate. And there's not really a lot of changes from last time around. I did meet with our current Poet Laureate, Kelly Richardson, to go over this and it, just in general to see if she had feedback. Included a couple little updates, but overall, she thought the application process made sense for what we're asking and the info that would be helpful to learn from applicants. So I don't have, there's not a lot of changes. As you can see, we're kind of doing a placeholder date right now, but for the crossover event or the torch passing event, but that has not been confirmed yet. So we're still working on that. And the eligibility and all that is the same. So we had opened it to Pierce County residents but who are actively engaged in Tacoma's creative community, trying to broaden the pool since the number of poets who would be interested in taking on a role like this is understandably possibly not the largest pool out there. So this helps widen that, and that's been in place for a couple of years already. So I'm open to any questions anyone might have.
When's the last time we looked at funding for this?
Last time around, we went from $2,000 to $4,000. That kind of funding? You mean, yeah, the stipend. So 2 years ago, we doubled it to $4,000. And then for the amount that we're like the minimum we're asking, which is the two workshops a year and participating in Arts Month. Understandably, Poet Laureate often takes on more than that, but those are the minimum that we require.
They're also allowed to charge in cases, you know, like we don't expect them to do everything that they do for free out there even. Could be more robust at some point.
We sometimes will provide money for, like, you know, if there's
help promote the, to produce
their needs for an event or something that they do.
Food we've paid for at, like, Kelly's big event at the art museum. We covered a good chunk of all the catering for that and some other things. So we'll try and cover
Production costs and things.
Outside of that, yeah.
Yeah, and some I was noticing in some places it would say help produce with the assistance of the City of Tacoma's arts office. So,
yeah.
I mean, it looks like a pretty hefty job, but I mean it's a pretty great opportunity. So, I mean, I think the right person needs to take a good look at it, and there's no point sugarcoating it that there are expectations that come with being poet laureate, but that there's assistance financially, and also you guys help out as well with logistics. But it's a pretty awesome honor, I think. And I think the people that have done it, you've heard, I assume that you've had conversations with them afterwards to see what
all
worked and what didn't. And
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Did anyone say, you asked way too much, don't ask me again?
I think it's just been like it'd be great if you could up the amount. And so that's what we did last time around is... Right.
How many people usually apply?
It's a pretty small pool. I think 10, something like that.
But the literary community continues to grow, so it'll be interesting to see what it looks like this next round.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the creative colloquy and stuff like that. And
see. Do you guys have had some runners-up that you think may be good candidates this time around?
Yeah, and we'll always reach out to them again. And I couldn't tell you off the top of my head who it was, but there's always like a backup. I don't know what we call them.
Alternate,
yes. In the case that the selected poet laureate couldn't, like, moved or couldn't fulfill their duties for some reason, then we would go to the alternate. So anyway, we always go back and encourage past applicants to reapply, consider that at least.
Because had Kelly been a...
She had been.
Yeah,
Yep.
And I'm sure you've already connected with Sweet Pea and Michael and all the different organizations.
We try, but well, you'll see this call to artists go out in January. I tried to do it after holiday stuff hits just because it gets lost otherwise. So when it goes out, I'll send it to all of you. And if you know of anyone or have ways to help get the word out, don't worry about, like, am I overlapping? Feel free to... send it on out, then people feel extra encouraged to consider it or pass on the word about it as well. So.
Is there an age limit for applicants?
You have to be at least 18.
Okay.
Yep.
And can they be students? I'm thinking about universities and teaching professors and...
We don't say anything about being a student on this one. You have to be 18 or older. Cannot be a previous title holder. It cannot be you guys. Certainly faculty or anyone. Yeah, absolutely.
You have good connections, though, like with UPS and University of Washington and all that. Because I know last time when we were on the panel, there were a lot of, seems like there was really connected to universities, some of the people. I tried to promote some of the professors that I know, and they're all so worried about, I don't have time, you know, how am I
gonna...
And I couldn't really explain how much time it does take, but they were really concerned about, I don't know if I'll be able to devote that much time to it. How many hours do you think it takes, is there any way to judge it or gauge it?
They have to be willing, it's more about the willingness, if people feel like, in my opinion, because it's about community engagement as in addition to being a good writer. So most of them have gone above and beyond because it's their nature to do so in the community. So
they get asked to perform at different city functions. They get asked to present at a school. There's all sorts of stuff. And, of course, the poet laureate can say no if something doesn't work for their schedule. They always have that. Right, or if it, not just their schedule, if it was like, I don't know what they would get asked to speak at, but if it was against, whatever, something that they did not agree with, then of course not. But so they have the right to do that. Most of them have been pretty darn...
accommodating,
They try to. I think that's one of those things is if you're going to serve in the position of a poet laureate for the city, then you're kind of the ambassador for... Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take time.
Yeah. It will, yeah.
And the first, Bill Kapinski, who was the first poet laureate, is a professor at UPS.
Yep.
And so if you have colleagues that have questions, maybe they can ask him about his experience.
Yeah.
And I think the only requirement is two events, I think, a year, right? So four events total.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty low bar. Mm-hmm. And most of them, I think, exceed it.
Quite
easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't there an art town running about it right now?
There is. We're rerunning. There was an old one, so that art town shows, it won't show Kelly on it because that one was done a while ago. But, yeah, we had did an episode a couple years back that featured at least four, maybe five of the past poet laureates on it. So
I saw it at like 3 in the morning.
You're our demographic.
Nice.
Insomniacs. That's where you target.
All right.
That's how I can market it.
Trouble sleeping?
I know. God, I used to wake up to hear the, you know, Star Spangled Banner or something when there wasn't any TV after 1 a.m. But
yeah.
Now you can watch Art Town, 3 a.m.
Yeah. About.
All right. So you need a motion to accept the current guidelines or the guidelines for 2019-21 Tacoma Poet Laureate application. Do we have a motion? Unless there's more discussion.
I will move to accept these guidelines for Poet Laureate.
Second?
A second.
Lynn, second. Any more conversation? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Great. Okay. You got it.
Okay.
And thirdly?
Thirdly.
The new addition to the agenda?
Your last action item?
My final.
So this was not on the agenda. My apologies. I forgot to put it on there, but a panel met recently to review the some portable works for purchase to be added to the city's municipal art collection. The panel consisted of Liesl Sankyle, who is not here, but she was on that. And then we had Gabriel Brown from Spaceworks Tacoma, Heidi Fernandez-Yamazaris, who will be our new commissioner. We did not know that at the time, though. And Rashida Myers, who is a city employee. We had $20,000 in percent for art funding to purchase some new portable pieces for the collection. And so I'm going to show you the pieces that are recommended for purchase. And then you'll be asked to vote to accept these, assuming it meets your criteria. Yeah. So, and these are, again, just snapshots, so bear with the image quality on some things here. But we have a piece from Anita Yu Ali, who happened to be one of our TIP-funded artists. This piece is an embroidery, a textile embroidery piece. Adika Bell.
It's in our East Side cohort.
Oh, yeah. Jasmine Brown, who was doing several projects with us right now, but doing a large Billy Ray sculpture at the East Side Community Center.
Is this a photo?
It's
is that
a
just
photo.
A photograph? Okay,
because
I know she does those applications that she sticks.
Yeah, we're going to ask her to do it as a photo on a hard cutout background.
Cool.
Yeah. Heather Cornelius, it's a ceramic piece. Becky Fraze, painting on paper, drawing and painting on paper. Tiffany Hammonds.
It's huge.
It's huge, yes. And it's not really pink colored. It's wood color. So the coloring's off. Lucia Harrison. This is a diptych to painted and collage pieces about the Nisqually Delta restoration or before and after pictures, compilations. Lourdes Jackson. Lisa Kinoshita. A 3D piece. So. Maury Martin. Nicholas Nyland. Chandler O'Leary. Diptych as well. Eduardo Pena. Liz Poulos. Little textile piece. Christy Rooks. It's a print. Roberto Sanchez. Masahiro Sugano. Also one of our TOP artists. Dion Thomas. William Turner. And, oh, two more. Angela Wales. And Grace Washington. So, 21 pieces total, all by 21 different artists. And it's a little over 20,000, including taxes that were figured into it all. So,
the majority of the pieces, well, the pieces were... are destined to go to the 10th floor where the new city council offices are. They redid that whole floor, and that's where the money came from. So that's particularly why we limited it to Tacoma artists and want to be able to represent all the districts in the council area. So,
did you get every district?
That's a good question. I need to go back and look, but we were pretty darn close to it, if not completely. And all but one or two are, like, new to the city's art collection, so it's nice to have representation from artists who are not in there already as well.
Okay, I have a question, Amy. So are they going to be on permanent display in the new office?
Well, I mean, it's a part of the works collection, so we put work where it goes publicly, and we reserve the right to move it, or, you know, so...
We own, Arts Commission does own the art.
The city of Tacoma.
The city of Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where is all the other art that we have? I remember a while back we were talking about there was an overflow of art.
There's never been an overflow.
Or that there was a lot or something. Some discussion, I remember.
We have pieces in storage, but that are in... ill repair, things that are not, we're not able to exhibit because of damage or whatever reason. But unless things are being, the only time we really have stuff just sitting around is if, like, work is being done in a certain area and we had to take the artwork down there. So everything's out in the buildings, in between this building and other city buildings right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still
nice
demand.
Pieces.
We've only been able to start purchasing work again in the past,
six years
or so.
Yeah,
it's a really great group of work. There's a lot of diversity here in
really
artwork
nice.
and medium, and also a lot of these are artists of color, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I love it.
Kudos to the selection committee.
I think over half of them are artists of color.
Yes,
which is
really nice.
Beautiful.
To the work that. We've been trying to do to help diversify our pool of artists and doing the artist trainings and things like that. A lot of the names that come up are artists who participated in various training programs and such that have happened in the last few years.
Good luck installing it. It's not going to be easy. That's why you guys are the experts.
There are a lot of representations of people of color also, which is something that I think people have asked for in the past, and we haven't had a lot of, so I'm happy to see that, too.
Right.
Yeah, it's good work. I'll
take
that one.
I know.
That's why I was asking the question.
All right.
Any other comments or questions? Somebody want to make a motion to approve these purchases?
I move to approve these purchases.
Second?
I second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Welcome to the Municipal Art Collection.
Thank you. We'll be notifying these artists, too. So, don't tell them yet until we get
them.
A chance to... Let them know.
Spill the beans. All right, we're still almost on time. Staff check-in.
I'm not going to hog up a bunch of time. I've mostly been working to get my head around Tacoma Creates stuff, meeting with the city manager on the 17th to kind of lay out some options and get her clarity on some of the ways she'd like to move forward. So that's been absorbing a lot of my time, but I don't have anything specific to report about it right now except that. We give time to people who actually have things to talk about.
She cedes her time.
I do have something. One second. I should have been with the Poet Laureate. I have sign-up opportunities in case sitting on funding panels is not enough for you. We have two things. One is our Tacoma Poet Laureate program. We're going to need some panelists to review applications for that. A date has not been set. And it got cut off here. I said sometime between March 25th and April, and I don't know what the date was, but early April. a 4-hour meeting and then some time to review ahead of time. So if you're interested in that, I could take several sign-ups for that program. And then also we have the Regional High School Art Show. So Puget Sound Educational Service District serves public schools regionally, and they do an annual high school art show. They would love for one of our commissioners to go and review the show. It's in Renton, but review the show and then select a piece to give an award out on behalf of the Tacoma Arts Commission. So judging is somewhere between February 11th and 15th. You can kind of go anytime. Not too late. It's like within daytime hours. And then their award presentation is March 20th in the evening, if you're able to attend. So if you're interested in during a show, you can sign up on here, and I'll pass this around.
And okay. I will not do that one because I have kids that enter that. That would maybe be kind of bad.
I'll throw it around this way.
Not do that.
Feel free to sign up if there's not enough lines, and I'll go through and accommodate as best I can.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, really quickly, I have a couple things. We had the Lincoln ribbon cutting right after our last meeting. Heather was there. Mike was there, too. There was a pretty good turnout, I think. We brought back some of the mini grants. The screen printing was crazy popular. Yeah. I had to shut it down after the stage was cleaned up. People loved it. Yeah, so it was fun to see some of those projects that we did come, you know, get some more energy, and I'm hoping that one especially will pop up in other places.
What did they screen print on?
Got some bags. T-shirts. So we part of it was if you provide things to screen print on people. They just love it, so. And Horatio did a nice tour, I think, and Heather got to talk a little bit about the gate that she did with her students, too. And
that was a lovely event, by the way.
It was
really nice. And Horatio led a tour.
Yeah, he did a nice tour.
Of his projects, yeah.
Yeah, I think that the event kind of felt like the whole project has felt, so it's been really integrated. There are a lot of different pieces to it. It wasn't your typical streetscape project. Mm-hmm. And people from the community were at the ribbon cutting, which is it's really telling for, you know.
Right.
Streetscape ribbon cuttings don't usually have a bunch of community members there, necessarily.
Has everybody seen the installed cloud gate?
It's gorgeous. Did I show it? Yeah?
Did anybody not see it?
Raise your hand if you
have. I've seen it.
When it's windy, it shimmers, and then it makes noise. If you're close to it, you can hear it.
Oh, I didn't know about the noise.
It's kind of magical.
Yeah,
it's like a very light, like kind of just tinkles. Like just, but not enough to like, yeah.
Would it be there. Yeah, here?
This is when it was.
This isn't what it sounds like.
The magic. magical.
But there are also two of them, right?
There are two of them.
Yeah, so it really, I was saying to Horatio, I didn't want to mean to offend him, but I said, it's way better in real life than it is in the pictures. Or it's better than I thought it was going to be.
Because
this looks cool, but when you see the two of them, you feel like you are entering through a gate.
Yeah.
And it does shimmer. It's just gorgeous.
And it's different in different light, too, which is kind of fun. And we heard good feedback from people that we were selling to, which is a good sign. So it's you hope.
And there are two, those sort of vertical elements.
They're not in yet.
They're not in yet.
There are two other sets of vertical elements that are going to be going in on Yakima. So there's a set of columns that are cut out with cloud forms. And then we're bringing back some of the lanterns. Right. We have a bunch of lanterns in storage, and Hershey is going to repurpose some of them in sculptures at the end of Yakima. So
cool.
There are some more pieces to be installed, but that's the really big one. So. So I encourage you to just go drive through. It's fun to, and then stop and listen to it if it's windy, because it is nice. I just wanted to let you know that we did get the final for Susan's Zocalo's project, and you all, I had to go back and look at it because it was before I went on maternity leave that she presented. But her proposal hasn't changed in any substantial way. She just refined it. But I just wanted to let you know we're moving forward with this. It is going to spell out Theophos. I'm hoping her current timeline is installing in February. So you just look at your watch, Mike. It's in 2 months. So
how does it spell it? Oh, with the science guy.
Yeah. So she came and did a presentation on it. And it's pulling from different marine and
railroad
symbology, and different people that use that area will recognize it and have already showed it to them. So. And that's, we're doing that with the Theophos Waterway, with the
Foss Waterway Development Authority.
Yes, FWA. And then the last thing I wanted to share is that one of the pieces on the Prairie Line Trail, one of the five pieces we installed, was installed last week. This is by Matthew Dockery. There's only one remaining piece to go in, which should go in the spring, by Ryan Feddersen. This piece also has an accompanying text on some of the rail lines. I think you guys saw a presentation about it probably last year, but it's a really cool, there are lots of, took lots of pictures from the same angles, but
it's nice to see the expanded steel in the holes so people can't stick stuff in there.
Yeah, he's
nice.
Good. Yeah, right. And then I shouldn't say it on record because I need to double check he actually did this, but you're supposed to be able, they're supposed to connect to different ones so you can like
whisper.
Hear things a little bit differently if you remember talking
to
it.
The proposal is like interactive.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't tested it because I just went by myself.
Run really fast.
Yeah, but it's got really nice scale, and I think all the pieces together. I don't know if you can see any.
The finish is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did a really nice job. So I'm really happy with how it turned out, and I would encourage going down there, especially after rain, because then we'll have to do something to celebrate all the pieces being in.
And there will be signage that interprets the pieces and adds to the storytelling and interaction with it as well.
Yeah, Asia's been working on some pretty in-depth signage that tells the story of each of the pieces. So,
is the one installed that has the like seating area?
That is the one that still needs to be installed.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah, so that'll be installed in, I think it should be April. So that'll be the last piece, and it's an art park now, I would say, which is what we're hoping for, right? That's all I have.
Cool. That's great.
Are we on time?
Yes, unless...
Did I tell you that the foundations are poured for the octopus sculpture at Dita Ng Sound Transit?
Finally!
No, they're poured! They're in! They're curing.
I was hoping that would be in before my tenure ended.
It's
been about half the time I've been on the commission.
2012.
Yeah.
It's a tear to my eye.
Really, 2012? Is that when that started?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the foundations are actually poured.
More than half my time.
Right. Exactly.
That's awesome.
Really?
Sure they are. All right, so you guys are done. Report back. Any advocacy reports?
Can I talk about my TAIP check-in?
Sure.
Yes. Or, yes. Oh, that's not an advocacy report. That's an arts
attendant. We're moving on to arts events attended. Yes.
I did a really cool check-in for the TAIP mid-project check-in, and I should have double-checked the name of this artist that I went to see before I...
Trying to remember, what was the...
It's the tiny portable Venetian wine stage.
Ben
Wildenhouse. I don't know if anyone else was on this funding panel like 2 or 3 years ago, that I loved this presentation, and I was pushing so hard for it because it sounded so weird and whimsical and amazing, and it's everything that I dreamed and more, and I think everyone's going to be very delighted. He built a very sturdy stage. I asked him a lot of questions about whether he felt confident that the stage would not collapse, and he had all the same concerns, so we built it really strong and ordered like professional portable stage legs to go under it, so he's not building the legs himself, and it's... he's going to take it around town and do, like, improv theater as a sad businessman in a tiny office cubicle. It kind of made me feel sad as, like, a corporate middle manager. It's going to be a little too close to home for a lot of people, but it's going to be funny and weird, and he's talking about doing some, like, kind of weird Christmas Hanukkah type stuff this year, but... whenever he gets the like performances on the docket, everyone should go see it because it's going to be so weird and amazing.
Awesome. That's I forgot about awesome. That. Yeah
it's
good.
Wacky and wonderful.
He performed at the Tacoma, the Kaleidoscope Arts Month party 2 years ago when it was held at the Spire in the basement. I don't know if anyone caught there on a sort of pallet made raised stage, like, so this will be a little bit different.
We talked about that. I remembered the golf thing and just asked a lot of questions about stability, public safety.
Yes.
He's
he's
got building skills. And I got to see the basement of Tacoma Art Museum, so that was also
cool.
End of my report.
Anybody else? Our last report. Scott, you have a last report?
I'll watch his last ended.
Do you want to recommend something for somebody else's agenda?
No, I don't.
I have a recommendation. I do want you guys to consider doing a case study on the Lincoln streetscape still. Oh. About public, the municipal and the streets and the city public works and the art all coming together.
Yes. Is anybody thinking of that already?
There's some, and there's the steering committee is continuing on, but Debbie's, she's off the project in a week. Mm-hmm. But it probably would be good to do that from an arts perspective, because that was a really cool project. And
it should be a best practice for all city improvement projects, so it'd just be nice to have it, like, kind of captured while it's fresh in everyone's minds.
Yeah. There's some reporting that's going to be done. Probably in January, I think she'll be wrapping up. But
We did do an art town on it, but I don't. It was more the art side. More, it's a good point.
Yeah.
This is reminding me that one thing that I did do this, I think last month, at Asia Pacific Cultural Center, and Asia was there for the Tacoma Mall temporary projects that artists had done.
Public art, public action.
It was great. I don't know how many artists were engaged in that, Asia, do you remember? 12 artists presented on the work they've been doing in that neighborhood, and real full range of things, and I think it's great for the artists and great for the community. A lot of artists that were really sort of getting outside their comfort zone, studio artists that were doing things that were very different, working with communities and various communities from... I think nursing home was one group that somebody was working within, and other people were doing works outside. They were activating parks, and it just seemed like a really full range of things that people were up to. And it's great to you're helping to foster the next group of public artists, but also I think enhancing that neighborhood. I'm not sure what the next phase is. I think this is is there more to that neighborhood that's going on?
Presumably, I don't know what our involvement will be, but the idea was to start to get sink into it a little bit more ourselves and figure out what kinds of things need to happen, and as funding becomes available to impact actual physical environment, or if we get other great ideas that we can fund.
But I'm just thinking about that because Lincoln District was also sort of the first fully, I think, worked out project that was streetscape and projects that were sort of a mixture of permanent and temporary, and that there may be some permanent things happening in the Tacoma Mall.
Not yet.
Not yet? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Still in the planning stages.
Once we get the funding changed, as citizen volunteer.
Yeah, we still need to do that,
help you with
for
that.
Sure, because
yeah.
That can't fall by the way. So.
Great. Anything else? All right, we're adjourned.
Oh,
yes.
So sorry. So I see that First Night has been canceled due to lack of funding, and I'm just wondering, have they ever approached your office about that event or applied for funding?
They receive, I think, a $40,000 a year allocation from the city outside of our process.
Mm-hmm.
So the funding from the city part wasn't the issue. I was involved in some of the discussions when the board was concerned about whether they'd be able to make it or not. I was concerned at that meeting that they probably wouldn't. And so my colleague, Cal Adrali, who manages that contract and does special events in the Broadway Center and Tacoma Arts Live, were like, well, we need to know by X amount, number, X date when you think it's a make it or break it.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was just lack of funding. I don't know how the model works regarding production. You know, it.
A new team in this year as well.
Yeah. So that needs to be looked at. And they're going to be doing, they're planning to do this anyway, but they're going to be doing some programming at Tollefson Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be some things. And they purposely don't want to try to do, there was some sort of last minute attempt to, let's try to do something, but the idea of delivering something so not first night on first at night was decided it wasn't a great approach. So we'll have to be revisiting that for the next year,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Good.
But something that, you know, that helps these festivals that have longevity and duration, but even with production help, seem to still be on the shoulders of volunteers and a variety of commitment and knowledge. You know, it's just like we can look at how to stabilize some of those major events in town. I think that's a next move for growth in our city. You know?
Right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, we are adjourned.
Go straight here.
Yes,
you can. Heather took off, so if you're planning to join, feel free to.
Oh my God!
If you're leaving, you can take your nameplate with you. But maybe if you just leave, probably not the base. Huh? Probably not the base. Not the base. We reuse them.